For the ones who get going when the going gets tough. And the ones who know we're tougher together. For the pathfinders breaking new ground. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as fast access to experts and 24/7 customer support. Because we know you have people depending on you, so you can always depend on us. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Today on Not Sam Wrestling, we've got tons of wrestling controversies to talk about, and wrestling superstar Danhausen will be on the show. It's a very nice, very evil Not Sam Wrestling.
This is Not Sam Wrestling.
Introducing your host from New York, here is Sam Roberts.
Oh, I hope the week is starting well. I mean, how could it not be? You got Not Sam Wrestling in your life. This is why we start on a Monday. Welcome, welcome. I mean, these days, so much wrestling news happens all the time that it becomes difficult to keep up with all of it, to even know what is the best day of the week to have a wrestling podcast. There's wrestling on every night. Monday, Raw. Tuesday, NXT. Wednesday, AEW. Thursday, you could either take a breath or you could watch Impact. Friday, SmackDown. You might get a day off on Saturday, but there's either going to be a Triller pay-per-view to watch or a UFC pay-per-view to watch. I mean, I thought Saturday was a day free from combat sports or sports entertainment, but UFC shows up on pay-per-view, not only with the pure spectacle of having 15,000 people in an arena for the first time, but I seen a man kick another man in the leg so hard that the guy doing a kicking broke his own leg. Incredible. And then, of course, Sundays, somebody's doing a pay-per-view. Impact, AEW, WWE, NXT. So there's always stuff to talk about. And quite frankly, there's all the news that breaks. You know, every Thursday, we do Thursday, Not Sam Thursday, the bonus podcast exclusively for the folks at patreon.com/NotSamWrestling. The Not Sam Shills, as they're known. And we kind of just cover what's gone on throughout the week, usually. And usually that suffices, but quite frankly, so much has happened just since Thursday afternoon that I could have done a whole nother podcast and then jumped on here for our traditional Not Sam Wrestling Franchise Monday show. But I guess we got to get into it, right? I mean, Twitter was ablaze. You should have seen me Thursday night, Friday, just sitting there refreshing, refreshing, refreshing. Of course, Trash Bag Gate went down. Mickey James. I thought we kind of went over the folks that got released from their WWE deals on last week's show. And I thought until those folks have something new to report, that would kind of be the end of it. Not forever, but just a pause until those non-competes run out and they start popping up at different events, and we can kind of analyze those. But Mickey James posted on Twitter that WWE sent her all her stuff in, you know, I guess she had stuff. I don't know where she keeps. I don't know. I thought it was interesting just as a fan looking at that. Like, you'd think, I understand that when you leave a corporate job, you got your stuff in the office. Somebody's got to send you your stuff from the office. But I don't know. I guess she had a drawer or something that had some of her stuff in it. And they put it all in a trash bag. When I say they, I guess it was one person. I don't know. I don't know the process. And then put it in a box and mailed it to her. And I thought WWE did a pretty decent thing of stepping up and not trying to hide it from it. You know, WWE is a big enough organization that there are some organizations that would take all this Twitter commotion and just go, you know what? We're pumping out so much stuff. Let's just wait until the next. The wrestling news cycle, like I've just said, every 8 hours, there's another wrestling story that's completely swept up the news cycle. So there are a lot of companies, forget about wrestling, just corporate companies that would say, let's let this Twitter hubbub die down and hopefully people will just forget it. But WWE stepped right up. Triple H sent out a tweet. Stephanie McMahon sent out a tweet. Both of them specifically apologizing to Mickey James and acknowledging the career and influence that Mickey James had in WWE, which I thought was a specifically classy move. Like Stephanie's tweet that actually went out there and didn't say, you know, There was an incident of a certain superstar. She was like, look, I think she quote tweeted Mickey, I think. I don't, but both of them specifically acknowledged what Mickey sent out there and said, look, you're right. It is disrespectful. Mickey felt disrespected, you know? I mean, it's one thing to lose your job. It's another thing to have all your stuff sent to you in a garbage bag. It's not the greatest symbolism in the world, right? So the fact that they acknowledged it, and then there was action. I mean, I don't know what else you could ask for. They acknowledged it, and then they moved forward with action, I guess, announcing that they had let go. They had fired the person. Triple H said straight up fired, I think. I don't have the tweet right in front of me. But they fired the person responsible, which I was like, whoa, they are not messing around here. This is something. And maybe that's one of the benefits of having people that have been performers in the positions of executives now. You know, I think Stephanie to a degree, but Triple H to an even higher degree, they both understand. And Triple H only to a higher degree because, I mean, he wasn't born into the McMahon family. You know, when he gets to WWE, he's just a talent like anybody else. So the idea that they understand the sort of positions that you get put in and how some things feel and acknowledge that, I thought it was a very good thing. I thought it was the right move. Man, I really thought that we were going to find out there was just some dopey intern that was lazy and put everything into a trash bag. Like in my head, I was like, yeah, I could see Hot Dog doing that. I could see Hot Dog. And he wouldn't do it out of malintent. He wouldn't do it maliciously. He would just do it out of sheer laziness.
I don't know. I couldn't find any real bags, and I put it in a garbage bag.
I'm like, you couldn't have found a WWE gym.
I don't know.
You couldn't have found a Not Sam gym bag?
No, I used a garbage bag.
That would be Hot Dog. And that's the way I pictured it. But apparently they went way higher up with it. So, you know, and I guess we found out through that process that several higher ranking backstage office people were let go, completely unrelated to the Mickey James thing, but more specifically related to like the cuts that were made. You know, there were cuts made, and you know, this is, you know, if people bring up budget cuts a lot and how like they don't buy that talent was released due to budget cuts because, well, they're spending money on this and, you know, well, they hired Pat McAfee as an announcer, so why would they have to get rid of the Iconics or whatever? And whether it's right or wrong, I don't think people realize that companies work within departments and departments have budgets. So they don't sit there and go like, well, what can we save this salary on? Well, we'll fire that person. We'll fire this person. No, they go, okay, we need to have the bottom line be this. The talent budget right now is X number of dollars. So we're going to decrease the talent budget to this number of dollars. We're going to decrease or increase the announcer budget to this number of dollars. We're going to increase or decrease the budget for this department, for that department. So departments, this is generally how businesses work. I don't know if this is how it works in WWE, have budgets. Now, when the budget gets restructured, the department now has to restructure their budget. That's the way I read it. So I don't really end up comparing people from different departments to people of to each other because it's like apples to oranges or pomegranates, if you will. But I did want to give a shout out to one person who we found out publicly lost their job, is no longer employed by WWE, and that's Joe Villa. I don't know how deep you guys go into wrestling Twitter, but there were a lot of tweets that went out about him over, you know, the end of the week and into the weekend. A lot of talent that was tweeting back. I know Conrad, hey, it's Conrad, was retweeting and tweeting a bunch about him. I don't know what Conrad's relationship was with Villa, but obviously he liked him. I don't know. I saw Carmella tweeting and Charlotte tweeting and, you know, a lot of talent. And Joe Villa was a guy who he worked in PR. And so not only did he help people book interviews, but he also would accompany the talent to said interviews and kind of help them out. And like a newer talent, he would kind of help with the media training and stuff like that. And you can see him, you know, in throughout the years, you know, he's there. When I interviewed Randy Orton years ago and Randy cursed, I don't know if you can see Joe in the video, but Randy a couple of times kind of sheepishly looks at the corporate person that's with him because he's breaking the rules and knowingly breaking the rules. But that was Joe Villa that was with him and Joe Villa that had to deal with that. But the reason I bring up Joe Villa is because he is pretty significant to this podcast. Not only was Joe the first person to give me the time of day whatsoever that worked behind the scenes at WWE. I mean, Joe Villa was the first person in WWE to be like, yeah, we can work with you. Yeah, you should come to the press conferences. Yeah, I can get you this interview. Yeah, I can do that for you. That was Joe. But most importantly, anybody that has enjoyed either live and in person or on YouTube on video, any of the live events we've done, specifically the SummerSlam events that we did at Caroline's while WWE was doing SummerSlam in New York, those events where we had the Good Brothers on, where we had Kevin Owens on, Sasha Banks, Alexa Bliss, Samoa Joe, all of those live SummerSlam events, you can completely thank Joe Villa for the fact that they were pulled off at all. As a matter of fact, the first SummerSlam show that we ever did, the guests were Corey Graves and Paul Heyman. And the only reason that show happened is because Joe actually went into his personal Rolodex. He went into his phone and said, hey, you know, I really want to help pull this event off. Hey, Graves, are you around to do it? Hey, Paul Heyman, are you around to do it? And those guys said yes to Joe. And that's why they were there. And from that point on, it became an annual event, but only because of what Joe did year one. And it really was only an annual event, I believe, because of the support Joe showed for it within the company every year that we pulled it off. So I have a lot of thanks to give to that man for what he did in his career to help me throughout my career. And anybody that's enjoyed this podcast, quite frankly, has a lot to thank him for, too. He's the man. So, and I'm sure that he'll find a grand spot wherever he ends up next. I don't think it'll be any problem for Mr. Joe Villa. The other controversy was, of course, talks of Charlotte. Charlotte on Raw last week was written off for a period of time. She beat up a couple of referees. Just on fire. I love this version of straight up, no tweener, complete heel Charlotte. I think she's great. She was fined $100,000 and suspended indefinitely in canon. So I don't know. I guess the internet started saying she's going to get some dental work, and then she ended up retweeting Dave Meltzer for some of the comments that he made about Charlotte getting a makeover. And we talked about this a little bit on the Thursday Not Sam Thursday podcast on Patreon. And I don't want to jump all over Meltzer for this because I think there's a whole cottage industry of people attacking Dave Meltzer because it gives them clout with the people who don't like Dave Meltzer. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. Dave is doing what Dave is doing and has been doing it for decades. And while I don't agree with some of it, I mean, I also am a subscriber, right? I also listen to his podcast. Like, you know, I'm not of the attack Dave Meltzer for my own clout camp. But all that said, he's not the only one that comments on female wrestlers getting makeovers. And, you know, specifically Charlotte. Andrade actually posted a thing on his social media that was showing Charlotte without filters and talking about how she hasn't had all these plastic surgeries that people think she has had. I think it's an absurd conversation. And I think that people kind of skew it now where they used to just say it mockingly. Now they pretend to say it like, oh, you know, this is just the horrible pressures of women's wrestling and poor Charlotte or whatever. And I mean, I think that's just an excuse to bring up the same thing. You know, I think that if Charlotte's appearance evolves over a period of time, that's going to happen. You know, I don't think that anybody was sitting there going, oh, Braun Strowman, right? Braun Strowman disappears, right? And then when he comes back, he's bald and all of a sudden looks like he's chiseled out of stone. Like this guy, he clearly put work in to decrease his body fat and just get super, I mean, I don't even know if lean is the right word, because he's still a meat castle. He's just pure muscle. He's got so little body fat now. But nobody sat there and said, like, oh, Braun Strowman must be giving in to the mental pressures of everything that it is to be a male wrestler. They were just like, damn, Braun Strowman is Shaq Diesel. And they should have, you know? But yeah, I think that whether people want to change up the way they look or not, like, it's not always a negative thing. And it's weird, too, to just assume, oh, well, Charlotte's going to get dental work. She must, you know, she must have something deep in her subconscious that's making her do that. As opposed to, I don't know, maybe she got kicked in the teeth at some point. Maybe she's got a cavity, right? Maybe she's got to get a root canal. Maybe she just wants different teeth, you know? Roman Reigns showed up with a whole set of new teeth. And while we did make jokes about it, and rightfully so, nobody sat there and said, like, oh, man, Roman must be. Roman Reigns was wearing color blue contacts. Roman Reigns wore blue-colored contacts. And nobody sat there and said, oh, Roman is giving in to the pressures of the beauty standards. They were just like, okay, Roman wants blue eyes now. You know? Roman showed up with new teeth, and people were like, well, I guess he has heel teeth now. Good for him. So, you know, there is still some double standards going on in wrestling, and it's a little silly for me. Hey, let's talk about Monday Night Raw. I thought SmackDown was really good. I'm really enjoying on commentary the evolution of Pat McAfee's commentary. I love, so like Pat McAfee is like, he's just such an energetic guy, right? And he tries to make everything feel like an event. He did it every time we did a takeover pre-show. Let's make the pre-show the show, you know, everything. And so it's like getting to see him not come on as a guest on commentary, right? Because when he came on NXT as a guest on color commentary, number one, he had a clear goal, which was to start a program with Adam Cole. And by the way, don't think I've forgotten all the people that talked all kinds of smack about Pat McAfee back then. But he had a specific goal then, right? And it was kind of, you know, and it's to make it about Pat. Because again, we're going into this story that is going to be about Pat and Adam Cole. And when he was a guest on SmackDown a couple of years ago, after the Saudi trip, it was like, hey, this is an event. Pat McAfee is here for one night only. So it's like, you be as Pat McAfee as you possibly can be. When you're going to be the SmackDown color commentator every week, that's when it becomes, okay, this is going to be my job now. Your job is to now put over the stories and to put over the talent. So I really enjoyed, I thought that there was a clear differential from week one to week two. I think that if you're paying attention to it, you can kind of hear the work that Pat's doing on himself. And I think he's doing a great job. And I am very much enjoying listening to Pat settle in and find the energy between himself and Michael Cole. And, you know, I mean, what am I going to do? I feel like every week now we jump on the air and talk about how amazing Michael Cole is, and we could do that. Nothing has changed. But I'm liking that team. I think the Cesaro stuff is great. I want to get a military jacket that has my Instagram handle on it, too. I like the storytelling that goes on SmackDown, because it's the storytelling that I like in wrestling. In wrestling, I think you should have micro storytelling per episode, and those micro stories help the macro storytelling. So really, we're telling one story. So we're telling, like, there's three levels. We're telling a story that goes from WrestleMania to WrestleMania Backlash, which will then take us to WrestleMania Money in the Bank, and then eventually WrestleMania SummerSlam. But we're going from one pay-per-view to another. So we got about 6 weeks between those two pay-per-views. So that's a six-week story that's being told. Moreover, you will probably have some of those stories that are told through multiple pay-per-views. So now while you have this one six-week story, that six-week story is becoming part of a larger 9, 10, 12-week story, which is an even larger full-on story of Roman Reigns, specifically this version of Roman Reigns, who is a heel. But I think the things that we forget sometimes are that we can expect even further micro stories that exist within those 6 weeks, that every episode of television should be telling a story, that there should be a, like, there was a clear Cesaro, Daniel Bryan, Seth Rollins, Jey Uso, Roman Reigns. There was a story that was told from the beginning to the end of SmackDown. And the same thing happened on SmackDown last week, and I believed I talked about it last week, because that is how stories in wrestling, I believe, are told most effectively. I think too often, like, part of me, even on SmackDown, I think on Raw, they do a lot of adding elements in that could be stories, and for whatever reason, they decide not to tell a story. A couple of weeks ago, when we had that triple threat main event on Raw, or I think it was, it was Braun, Randy, and Drew, to find out who's going to be the number one WrestleMania contender at WrestleMania Backlash for the WrestleMania WWE Championship. That could have been a story. You could have taken the time to tell a story. You got 3 hours. You could have told a story over the course of an hour or two and then gotten to the triple threat in the third hour. But instead, at the top of the third hour, they're just all three in the ring, and Adam Pearce comes out and he goes, "I already know what you guys are going to say. Let's do a triple threat." You're like, you just took 2 hours worth of story and condensed it into 45 seconds, and I don't know why. Or I talked about it on Thursday, not Sam Thursday. This week, the fact that the Nia Jax thing, after the Nia Jax match, in one segment, in one TV segment that was about 90 seconds long, if that, you went from Mandy and Dana Brooke to Nia confronting them, to Shayna confronting Nia, to Angel Garza hitting on Nia Jax and bringing up Reginald, who wasn't even there. Like, this whole thing, there's so much going on in that segment that I left going, like, I don't know what to think about. I don't know if the story is with Dana and Mandy. I don't know if the story is between Nia and Shayna. I don't know if the story is between Garza and Nia. Like, it's three different stories that you're all told within 45, 60 seconds. And you're like, slow it down. Like, there's three stories here that I could be interested in. Let's take the time to tell all three. We can do this over the course of maybe a match and two segments, over the course of 2 hours. Make it so that on Raw, since you've got 3 hours, give me through lines throughout the show instead of just hitting me with a segment and it's like just a sledgehammer to the face. I feel like I'm in an Iron Man match against Triple H. It's long, and people keep hitting me in the face with sledgehammers. Take it easy. Take it easy. Tell me these stories instead of just going like, okay, it's almost like you're deliberately choosing to not tell a micro story with some of these elements. And it, for the life of me, it makes no sense. That's why, like, the idea that on SmackDown, you do have a story throughout the episode. And that story is a chapter. Like, each episode is a chapter, and each chapter has its own story. That's how wrestling should be, especially in this day and age. But I don't know, man. I mean, I'm already confused. I'll tell you what I liked on Raw. Matt Riddle winning. I hope we get Riddle winning every week on Raw. I mean, I believe that we can build Matt Riddle. Look, it'll never happen. It won't happen in a million years. But if it was up to me, Matt Riddle doesn't lose again. And we go to SummerSlam, unless you're going to do, and this is going to be crazy, but unless your number one match for SummerSlam for Lashley, first of all, keep the title on Lashley. Do not put the title on Drew McIntyre at SummerSlam King of the Ring WrestleMania Backlash. Don't put the title on McIntyre. You know, I believe that we need to see McIntyre struggle at this point. You know, I think that there has been some setbacks in the character development. None of this is the fault of the performer, but just in the story that's been told, the support for Drew McIntyre, in my opinion, is not there like it used to be. I believe that we need to feel like Drew needs our support again. Because right now, he wins, he loses, he treats the entire locker room like a bunch of schmucks. None of it matters. He just gets more opportunities. He's cemented as the top guy, and that's dangerous territory. When Drew went to WrestleMania last year and beat Brock Lesnar, it was this Drew that, like, a lot of the audience was going, why wouldn't this guy get more title matches? Why doesn't this guy get more opportunity? And he finally gets this opportunity, and he knocks it out of the park. We need to feel that to some extent again. It's never going to be exactly the same, but we need to get that feeling. You know, and I think that bringing Drew down, maybe just one peg, just right below, and not having, that doesn't mean you have him lose a bunch. I think you have him lose to Lashley at In Your House, Judgment Day, Backlash, WrestleMania, Taboo Tuesday. You have Drew McIntyre lose that match, and then don't have him lose again, but have him beat other people. Like, have him not be in the title picture. Don't have him fight Randy Orton. You maybe next pay-per-view, you do Braun Strowman versus Drew McIntyre. Maybe you do, I don't know, come up with some folks and have them fight Drew McIntyre. And let Drew McIntyre maybe build his way back up to getting that championship opportunity. I think you leave the title on Lashley. I think the biggest match you could possibly do at SummerSlam, maybe you bring Edge to Raw and have Edge versus Drew McIntyre at SummerSlam. Not for the title. That's just your SummerSlam match. That way you still got Drew in a big match. I don't think that Drew needs to get on the back burner. I just don't think he needs to be in the title conversation for a while so that people go, hey, why isn't Drew in the title conversation? Let people ask these questions. But yeah, so you could do Edge versus Drew at SummerSlam. And then Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley is clearly the match people are waiting to see. I would imagine that SummerSlam is maybe the next time that WWE is in front of an audience again, and maybe the beginning of WWE being in front of audiences regularly. I would think that if I were in WWE, that is what I would propose. And I don't know everything that I need to know, but that is what I would propose. I would say, let's keep it safe, our best bet. Let people keep getting vaccinated. Let's get an arena to be in front of a full arena crowd. Fill up the arena for SummerSlam. And then get back on the road and start doing TV on the road after SummerSlam. Maybe you do SummerSlam and Raw the next night in the same city. And then you start getting on the road. Out of the Thunderdome for SummerSlam. If you don't have Brock Lesnar, though, I truly feel, and again, if I were on Raw, this is what I would propose backstage. I would propose that we have officially seen Matt Riddle's last loss. I would propose that we take Riddle and Randy Orton to a pay-per-view, maybe Survivor Series Backlash, and have Riddle beat Randy Orton again, except this time he doesn't get lucky. And maybe at the Money in the Bank, have Riddle, I don't even know if you want to have Riddle win Money in the Bank. Maybe do Riddle versus McIntyre at Money in the Bank and have Riddle beat McIntyre. And build Riddle. Build Riddle strong, because you can. Because I truly believe that we can get to a place, if we want to, if we start working today, we can get to a place where we have Matt Riddle versus Bobby Lashley at SummerSlam for the WWE Championship. And I mean, to me, you want to let the world know that as we are opening these arenas back up, as we are back to asking you to shell out your hard-earned dollars to buy tickets to see these sports entertainers do what they do better than anybody else in the world, put a fresh coat of paint on everything. Make it clear that over the last year, new stars have been developed. Make it clear that WWE never hit pause. The WWE was continuing to develop. And at SummerSlam, you have this main event that a year ago at SummerSlam, you never would have guessed. Lashley versus Riddle. And by the way, Riddle doesn't have to stop any of his entertaining stuff. I use the phrase entertaining loosely because I'm entertained by it. I think it's fun and goofy, but a lot of people despise it. A lot of people hate it. And I, no shade. If you hate the Riddle stuff, I get it. I understand it. I don't, because, you know, to me, it's all wrestling. But if you do, I get it. I get, watching it, I go, this is ridiculous to me in a funny way. I get where somebody would hate it. But I mean, keep doing that. That's the personality in this. That's what makes it so it's not just some like ex-MMA guy fighting. Like, you're allowing him to be kind of himself. You're letting him be a stoner. You're letting it, like, I don't know. I think it's good. You keep that up. but then you just make him a beast in the ring. Like, make it so that people don't take him seriously when they talk to him. And then he gets in the ring, and he's just a beast, and he beats everybody. Except he's such a bimbo that it doesn't, it's not like he turns a switch on or off. It's just, this is what he does. When he's talking to you, he's a space cadet. When he's in the ring, he's an aficionado. That's just who he is. That's like, it's not like he becomes a different person. That's Matt Riddle, a goofball who happens to be excellent at wrestling. But he doesn't see himself as a goofball. So it's not like he doesn't even know that people aren't taking him seriously. He's just living in his own world. He's living in the clouds somewhere. None of this stuff bothers him. And I think we all know why. It's for the same reason why pigeons fly out of his flip-flops now. And by the way, keep the pigeons. And I'm not even advocating that Riddle has to beat Lashley. I mean, I'm not advocating for him not to beat Lashley. You tell me Matt Riddle is going to be the champion of the WWE, you're not going to hear me complain. However, all I'm advocating for right now is that Matt Riddle has proven that he can fight people in all these matches with Sheamus. He's proven that he can wrestle people in his matches with AJ Styles, in his matches with lots of people. He's proven that he looks like a champion every time he walks around. He just has so many muscles. And he's proven that he can do the entertainment part of sports entertainment by following instruction and portraying the character he's asked to portray. And he's doing a good job of portraying the character that he's asked to portray, whether you like the goofiness or not. He's not half-assing it. He's not doing... I mean, when he screwed up that one promo and he goes, I forgot what I was going to say, never mind. It's like, now you realize why maybe this Riddle character that he's playing is not so far removed from the actual Matt Riddle. Because nobody could tell if that was supposed to happen or not, which is beautiful. So I'm sitting here before you today, participants in the Not Sam Church of Wrestling, and asking you to follow me as we beg for the recognition of Riddle. Let's get him to the place where he needs to be. And by the way, get him there in August. You could have him lose to Lashley. By October, you draft him to SummerSlam? I'm telling you right now. Oh, I'm getting goosebumps again when I give myself these ideas. Sometimes I get these goosebumps. Even if he lost to Lashley at SummerSlam and then kept beating people after Lashley, draft him to SmackDown, and you start headlining pay-per-views with heel Roman Reigns versus babyface Matt Riddle? Oh, my God. Let's head to the pay window. Let's do this. Goofy Matt Riddle and never-smiling Roman Reigns in promos together? Come on, guys. Come on, guys. Stay with me here. Do you understand the potential here? All you have to do is have Matt Riddle win his matches. Just, it was so great. Didn't it feel good on Monday when Matt Riddle won the match? Yes. It's like, this is what we should have been doing from the beginning. This is the secret sauce. Just have Matt Riddle win, and you'll be on to it. All your problems will be solved. He's so great. Just have him win matches. And also, as far as T-Bar and Mace go, I like that they have no masks on. Don't beat them with their own masks. Don't have them get beaten up with their own. I don't care how big you are. If I watch somebody take your mask off your face and then hit you with it to the point that you have to retreat, I'm not intimidated. So no more hitting them with masks, please. Also, I'd like to file a missing persons report. AJ Styles, Baron Corbin, most importantly, Omos. I don't know what happened. Hopefully tonight we will see Omos again, because I seen AJ Styles at WrestleMania. I seen Baron Corbin at Backlash, WrestleMania, In Your House, Good Friends, Better Enemies, Beware of Dog, SmackDown, in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. And that's the last time I ever heard of Baron Corbin. Now, Omos, a guy who shows up and your giant thing finally works. You got this 7-foot beast and he's actually over. The fans at WrestleMania actually liked him. It worked. He beat New Day. And then I never seen him again. Never. I miss him. I would like to see Omos again. He had such a successful WrestleMania. He has a title. He's one of the tag team champions of the world. And he's gone. Could be a medical thing. I don't know. But if he's not on Raw tonight, if he's not on Raw this week, hell to pay. Hell to pay. Speaking of hell to pay, we've got somebody on Not Sam Wrestling today that is, well, I'm going to be honest with you. He is very nice, but he's also very evil. And that's why you can never be too sure with what side you're going to get. Danhausen is my guest on Not Sam Wrestling now. Danhausen is having a hell of a time for himself. Of course, he had made waves throughout the independent scene of professional wrestling, showing up as this sort of very over-the-top and outlandish character, full face paint, cape, body tattoos, a jar full of teeth. He does this incredible move. I love it. When he has this jar full of teeth, I saw him do it to Rhett Titus in Ring of Honor. He has this jar full of teeth, and he'll get his opponent while his opponent is groggy, and he'll pour the teeth in his, like human teeth, he'll pour them in his mouth. And now the opponent is so disoriented. He's going, what? I've felt my teeth in my mouth before, but what are these other teeth? And as they're thinking that, Danhausen just comes and smashes them in the face, and the teeth go flying everywhere. It's what a sight to see. I love it. Now, Danhausen very, very recently has become very famous. Very famous. I always think it's a joke when it's happening. I always think Danhausen is up to some pranks. But no, no, no. Danhausen does not prank. First, he wanted to adopt the go-to-sleephausen as his finisher. And he went and he asked CM Punk's approval. And CM Punk has now tweeted Danhausen many times. Many times CM Punk has tweeted Danhausen and has completely given Danhausen permission to use the go-to-sleep. Danhausen may be the second coming of CM Punk is what I'm trying to tell you. Then, Danhausen has very publicly been a fan of comedy, fan of The Simpsons, fan of Conan O'Brien. Danhausen shows up on Conan O'Brien's podcast. No joke. I thought it was a Photoshop thing, and then I actually listened to it. It's a real podcast. Not like that Lakers podcast with the catfish, a real podcast. Danhausen was on the Conan O'Brien podcast. Then, as if it couldn't get any crazier, as if Hollywood couldn't knock any harder, Danhausen puts out this video where he is trying out The Rock's new energy drinks. And as he's drinking, he morphs into The Rock, the original Rock. He's got $7. He's got his turtleneck. He's got his gold Rock chain around, you know, the meme Rock with the fanny pack. He tweets this out. You know who tweets him back? The Rock. Dwayne The Rock Johnson tweets back Danhausen to send his approval to him. And then CM Punk responds to that tweet from The Rock. Danhausen has The Rock and CM Punk and Conan O'Brien knocking on his door. But you know who he answers the door for? Yours truly. The last professional broadcaster, Sam Roberts. I said, Danhausen, we need to share your story. We need to share your story with the Not Samsonites. You need to be a part of Not Sam Wrestling. And he said, yes, yes. That was a very bad Danhausen impression. However, he did say yes. So he's our guest this week on Not Sam Wrestling. It's Danhausen.
The Not Sam Wrestling interview.
I'm very excited for this conversation here on Not Sam Wrestling. It's something that I've been wanting to do for quite a while, actually. Pre-pandemic life, I wanted to do this. I'm not one of these guys just jumping on the Hollywood bandwagon. However, the Hollywood bandwagon is jumping on board for our guest this week. Ladies and gentlemen, the always tense, Danhausen. What's going on, man?
Hello, yes, it's Danhausen. Yes, like you said, Danhausen's been waiting a long time to do this. We had plans to meet up in person to do this prior to the pandemic. So Danhausen knows that you are truthful.
Yes. Are you
hopping on the famous bandwagon?
Are you aware of that? Like over the last year, especially in the last like month, as your fame has skyrocketed, Do you become sort of aware of people? Oh, now all of a sudden you're paying attention to Danhausen. Now all of a sudden you want a little piece of Danhausen.
Yes, Danhausen notices everything. Mm-hmm. Danhausen can see them. Which, you know, whatever, Danhausen will take it. It is fine. But, yes, Danhausen has become quite famous. Thank you for noticing.
I did notice. You know, I thought that when you ended up on the Conan O'Brien podcast, I was like, well, this is a moment. And then for mere days later, The Rock to be tweeting not only about you, but your PT Cruiser. It has to be a remarkable time of life for you right now.
Yes, yes. Plus, you forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah, aforementioned Pepsi Man gave Danhausen to go to sleep as his finisher.
Not only that, but then he celebrated with you when The Rock tweeted. Yes. I saw that. I saw what the Pepsi Man
you
said.
Did.
Yes, of course. I keep up with you. I keep up with the Pepsi Man. I keep up with The Rock.
Yes, exactly. Danhausen has had quite a week. And you know what? We don't. Dan, when does this show come out?
It'll be out 2 days after recording the interview.
Well, fantastic, because Danhausen has some great news, which will be out by this time. But Danhausen is in a comic book cover as well.
Oh, my gosh.
It'll be Commanders in Crisis number 10 by Steve Orlando for Image Comics. Danhausen is a variant cover of some sort. Go order it at your local shop. Variant cover D.
Wow.
So Danhausen will cap off the week by being famous in comic book shops, as well as being great friends with The Rock, Conan O'Brien, CM Punkhausen, you know. No big deal.
No big deal. And by the way, being a Ring of Honor superstar, let's start there. How did this start? I mean, you had built up quite a reputation for yourself on the independents. All the wrestling fans I knew were aware of and talking about this Danhausen. They all loved that Danhausen. And Ring of Honor is the lucky girl that gets to take you to the prom. How did the negotiations with Ring of Honor go?
Well, Danhausen slid them a list and said, here's the demands.
Yes.
Actually, you know what? Danhausen had been training with Alex Shelleyhausen. And Alex Shelley really helped Danhausen get a job there. Very nice. Very evil of him.
Wow.
Quite wonderful to Danhausen. We'd been on a couple road trips to AIW in Cleveland. And he took a liking to Danhausen. And then helped Danhausen get a job. Which, of course, Danhausen then wrote down a list of demands, as we've said. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, Danhausen is not getting, that's not even a word, but he's not gotten. So angry, he flubbed his words up. His blimp yet. He's demanded a blimp from Dave Honor, owner of Ring of Honor, and he's gotten nothing.
Wow. Well, you always got to put in the contract, like, there has to be a time frame on this stuff, because people will promise you the world and then simply never deliver on the blimp.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
You do not give Danhausen the world, Danhausen will take it.
Right.
Which he's doing.
Right. So you will. The Rock clearly has to have some kind of connections to blimp manufacturers or at least people that have blimps. So if Ring of Honor doesn't supply the blimp promised, I have to imagine the blimp is coming one way or another.
Well, we'll have The Rock's lawyers over there.
Oh.
You know, Danhausen maybe will borrow some. I don't know.
Yeah.
How did that work? Who knows? Not Danhausen.
Well.
But maybe we get Conan's people over there, knock on the door, say, hey, where the hell is his blimp?
Yeah, I think so. Was there any, was it scary at all to sign with Ring of Honor? You know, I mean, I think when you're an independent superstar, of course the goal is to get some guaranteed money, to get some stability in wrestling. But at the same time, the freedom that comes with not having a contract, especially when you're Danhausen, you're one of the more creative superstars out there. I would have to imagine that there is at least a little bit of, I hope I get to maintain this level of creative freedom.
Yes. Well, yeah, that's a good question, Samhausen.
Thank
great
you.
Reporting.
Thank you.
So, yes, Danhausen was a little worried that they were going to say, like Dave Anna would come up to Danhausen and say, there will be no teeth, there will be no dancing, there will be no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the way Danhausen hypnotizes the audience, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, there's been none.
Wow.
They just let Danhausen be Danhausen fully. They said, we have hired you. Obviously, it was Dave Honor's assistant or something came up to Danhausen because Danhausen still has not seen this fellow.
Wow.
But they said, we hired you to be Danhausen. Go be Danhausen.
And I guess you test that, right? You test, you got to go step by step. You got, all right, am I going to be able to get away with pouring teeth in Rhett Titus's mouth? And when you can get away with that, it's like, okay, well, guess what? You just opened the door. You just allowed it. Now that's never going to stop.
Now Danhausen can just do it. Now Danhausen's rummaging around the offices, finding old pictures of Brian Danielson Housen and CM Punk Housen, and he's rummaging through them and he's trying to take them, but they won't let Danhausen take them.
Oh, you're trying to actually go, you're going into the warehouse and finding old, like, stuff.
Yes, yeah. Danhausen has set up his own office in their warehouse.
I see. I guess
a wonderful picture of his champion.
Oh, that is very nice.
It's right on his desk.
Oh, wow.
It's very evil.
Wow. Well, you're clearly a collectibles guy. For those of you watching this, not listening, you could see all the wonderful superhero action figures perched behind Danhausen. And you know, I know that you like to keep trinkets. Obviously, you have a jar of human teeth. That would be a collection.
Yes.
Celebrity teeth. David Arquette's teeth are part of that collection.
Danhausen likes you. You do your research.
Well, I mean, I've been following you, Pepsi Man, and The Rock for quite some time. So, do you...
Legends of the Biz.
Is it something you've always been? Have you always been kind of a bit of a pack rat, a bit of a collector of the things that you love?
Oh, yes. Also, these grow in value, you know.
Oh.
Not only do they look nice, but they grow in value.
I see.
Danhausen is a collector of valuable wares.
I see. Well, yeah, I mean, here's the thing that people forget sometimes, because the entertainment value is so high and there's so much pageantry about Danhausen, and then the brutality of Danhausen in the ring, they forget that third part, which is Danhausen, the businessman.
Oh, yes, which is maybe the most important part, because it goes hand in hand with everything else.
Right.
Danhausen must be a businessman so he can properly get on television or the radio waves, as we're doing now, and the internet waves.
Right.
And so he can take over the world. If you're bad at business, you are not on television. You are not taking over the world and hypnotizing the humans around. So
that makes sense.
This is what Danhausen does.
That makes sense.
Yes.
Now, are you a goal oriented business person? Like, do you sit there and go like, okay, this is where I want to be next year. This is where I want to be the year after. Or are you more, you know what? We're doing great. Let's keep it rolling.
A little bit of both. I believe it was last year Danhausen put out a list. Because that Corey fellow put out a list of wrestlers. So Danhausen put out a list of goals.
Right.
Because all the other wrestlers were doing a list of wrestlers. And Danhausen did not. What are we doing there? We're all doing the same thing. No, Danhausen does it different.
Right.
So he put out a list. And I believe Conan was on it.
Right.
Hot Topic may have been on it.
Boom.
What else was on it? Possibly Super 7. Danhausen wants an action figure. So they were on it. Yes. Adult Swim is on it because Danhausen feels he needs a TV show.
Yeah. No, I think...
Non-wrestling. Do other things, too.
Yeah. So diversify.
Danhausen, you know. Exactly. Because then we bring more eyes on the product to see these wonderful wrestlers.
Right. How did...
It means we all make more money.
Exactly. And I love the fact that, you know, it was a big deal. They were talking about it on the A&E Stone Cold Steve Austin documentary, how there was like Austin 316 shirts and Spencer Gifts and in the malls and everything.
Yes.
And now, yeah, and Austin is going, and they showed, by the way, Stone Cold Steve Austin on the Conan O'Brien show. And now we're in 2021.
See?
And look, I go to the mall. I walk into a Hot Topic. Very nice. Very evil. Danhausen T-shirt is on sale. And then I look at the Conan O'Brien podcast, and here is Danhausen. How did that come about? How did you end up on the Conan O'Brien podcast show?
Oh, yes. So that happened because a bunch of Fanhausens who know that Danhausen is great friends with Conanhausen tweeted at Danhausen that there was a link to join some contest of some sort. Danhausen really doesn't remember, to be quite honest.
Mm-hmm.
But Danhausen won, apparently. So Danhausen was contacted by the producers, who then had a phone call with Danhausen, said maybe we should CGI you to look a little more human, to not frighten folks.
Right.
And even though it's a podcast, they put out clips of YouTube stuff just like this.
Mm-hmm.
So they CGI Danhausen, did some voice changing technologies to help him blend in a little bit better. And yes, we had a phone call with Conan. They kind of said, hey, guess what? Tomorrow you're talking to Conan. And Danhausen was like, what the hell are you talking about talking to Conan? And then the next day, Danhausen talked to Gorley and Sona and Conan.
It's amazing. It's one of those
things. It was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah. I mean, for me, too, it's one of those things where I saw it and I was kind of looking, going like, oh, is this like the latest Photoshop joke that Danhausen is putting out? And then I'm like watching it going like, OK, where is the punchline, and then I'm going, is this like one of those fake, like deep fake videos? Is this? And I realized, like, no, this is just Danhausen talking to Conan O'Brien. This is amazing. The internet
Conan
is won.
O'Brien. Yes.
It's fantastic.
Danhausen saw it, what, the night before. Chuck Taylor posted about it.
Uh-huh.
And then Danhausen was like, oh, my. And then Danhausen couldn't sleep because Danhausen was so excited to share it with everybody in the world the next day. And then we did. And then it's from there, it's just been, wow, lots of stuff happening. It, Conan stuff, we got the Rock stuff, we got the CM Punk stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Comic book.
It seems like there's a genuine happiness from the wrestling community at large for your success. Like, that's, I get the fact that, you know, The Rock is having some fun. CM Punk is right there in it. And then, but I mean, you go further and you look at the people you've collaborated on stuff with. Generico. You've collaborated on stuff with Orange Cassidy. Like, it feels like there's a very rah-rah mentality for Danhausen. I don't pick up on a lot of the weird sort of jealousy vibe. I feel like people are generally happy for your success.
Well, yes, Danhausen was very excited about the Generico thing. He looks up to Generico and he's probably, I think, their best friends or something, Sami Zayn-Housen.
Mm-hmm.
Danhausen follows this. He was reading the Young Bucks book, real tangent, real quick.
Yes.
And there was a section about merchandising where Sami Zayn or El Generico, one of the two, Danhausen can't quite remember, would stand out, sell so much merch, make so much money, and come back with piles of 20s.
Right.
And then he would go tell them, you know, hey, we're going to fight. And that's kind of how Danhausen does it. So he's following in the footsteps, if you will.
So is that really that's the strategy to go and be like, look, I sold all this merch. Why would you not let me fight in the ring now?
Exactly. Wow. The fans want it, obviously.
Yeah.
So there's a demand now. Oh, yes, 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 yes. So what is the, oh, the jealousy. Yes. Yeah. It doesn't appear so, but, which is a good thing. Even today, Chris Judas tweeted at Danhausen and said there's an open invite for the podcast. So maybe we shall do that as well.
Christopher Judas. That could be huge.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
That's
so
fantastic.
We shall see.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. When did you feel like you had found, at what point in your career did you feel like you had found kind of yourself? Did you feel like you're like, okay, I know, because you've obviously always known who Danhausen is. You've always been him. But when you realized, I know how to present Danhausen to the people, so the people will now understand who Danhausen is.
Yes. It was about 2 years ago.
Wow.
Danhausen was very evil, only evil, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So Danhausen was kind of experimenting with little dashes of nice added in, little bit of a personality, if you will, of Danhausen's non-wrestling persona, and it seemed to work. So Danhausen discovered that if you are very nice, very evil, rather than just very evil and scaring the hell out of people constantly, people want to support you more and throw their monies at you and come say hello. So that's how Danhausen did it. It was about 2 years ago we've done this.
And I would imagine, too, it's a lot easier to hypnotize people if their guard is down.
Exactly. You get it. Mm-hmm. Don't tell anyone in Danhausen said this.
I won't. I won't. I won't. But it does make sense to me.
It's a trick. Yes, we'll whisper it so they cannot hear.
I've noticed about you, you seem very tense kind of all the time. It seems like you're constantly, and I can see it in your mouth, you're gritting your teeth, and then you're making a smile, and then you're not quite, you're kind of finding a facial expression to match something that you're trying to, I mean, do you walk around in a constant state of tension?
No, Danhausen feels great. What are you talking about? It's a daily massage. He's so famous, he just walks in, he says, Danhausen's here. Do it.
Oh, okay, all right, that must be nice. Must be nice. I guess it's
the star treatment.
Yes. I guess it's just the way that your body responds to the signals that your brain is sending to it.
Yes. It's still, you know, some would call Danhausen the most electrocuted man in sports entertainment, but
I would say that that's probably fair. I think that that's right. You know, you've been talking lately about PT Cruisers a lot, and you know, that was kind of a big part of the Ring of Honor signing, was that they had promised also a PT Cruiser for you to use. When did you realize that PT Cruisers were kind of the symbol of success? in the automotive world?
Well, you know, as Danhausen sees it, most celebrities get one.
Yeah.
So they're very exclusive.
Yeah.
The Rock has one.
Yeah.
Danhausen is sending him another, you know, on the house.
Wow.
Leave on his credit card he has access to. So actually, you know what? You'll get one sent out in the house as well for doing this interview for Danhausen.
That'd be great.
You know, Pepsi Man's going to get one. Chris Judas will get one. Conan got three. You know, he had to split it amongst his Sona and Matt Gourley. But yes, they also have not given Danhausen one yet. But hopefully they're sending these out, because otherwise Danhausen is making a lot of false promises.
It is always amazing to me. You know, it's one thing to kind of grow up obsessed with wrestling and then become a wrestler and get to kind of celebrate that through your work. But when you can celebrate everything that you're obsessed with through wrestling, that's kind of when I my eyebrows start to raise. That's when I go like, oh, what's this going on over here? When I'm catching little references to The Simpsons, maybe, inside of pro wrestling. And references that maybe, like, you know, even if you hadn't watched pro wrestling ever, you're like, oh, I know where that comes from. Is that something that you try to do, or is that something that you just do naturally?
So it is something that Danhausen does naturally, because these are things Danhausen enjoys. So they just naturally come out as Danhausen is doing Danhausen things, doing about his Danhausen business. But yes, sometimes Danhausen tries to push the envelope with this and see what he can get away with.
Right.
Like Danhausen came out, he said this before, but he came out with the little plane at Limitless Wrestling. Instead, it's the Spruce Moose hop into his opponent. And the crowd all in unison chanted hop in at this fellow until he got very angry and smacked the airplane out of Danhausen's hand into the audience, which one of them saved, by the way, and gave it back later.
Oh, very
nice. Quite nice.
Yeah.
But yes, Danhausen just tries to do this. That's where the tequila dance came from.
Right, of course. Now, do you ever try a reference like that and it falls flat?
Sometimes, but sometimes Danhausen will see that someone got it. So that's okay. That's a win in Danhausen's book. If Danhausen says something from The Simpsons that only one or two fans get, it's all right.
Yeah. That's who it was for, ultimately.
Yeah, exactly. And they'll appreciate it.
I get it. You know, I think you sent me something about the Froyo being evil. That's bad.
Cursed.
Right. That's bad.
Yes.
I was like, I know. I understand the reference. I got it. I picked up on it right away.
You just have to let it. No, this is not just for you. This is for the wide audience.
Right. Now, who are your
be careful.
Who are your motivations as far as wrestling goes growing up? Because you could have gone a lot of ways, right? I mean, if you love The Simpsons, you love Conan O'Brien, you could have gone into the comedy world. Obviously, you love superheroes. You could have gone into writing comic books or writing film. You know, pro wrestling is where Danhausen landed. So who do you think it was that you kind of locked on to at a young age?
Well, the first one Danhausen really locked onto was Kane, because the visuals of him tearing down the cell, destroying The Undertaker. By the way, you had these two on your podcast recently, yes?
Yeah, it blew my mind.
Yes, exactly. Now it's blowing your mind that you have Danhausen, fellow legend of the biz, on your podcast. So
true.
Danhausen understands. So, yes, anyways, he ripped this door off. Did you see it?
Yeah.
He threw it, and he destroyed The Undertaker.
Yeah. And that was when...
And then there was...
No, go ahead.
Go ahead. You go ahead. Danhausen wants you to talk.
Wow, that was so. It's really like the storytelling, the storytelling and the characters that locked you in.
And the costumes. You see his costume. Mm-hmm. He's wearing this red. He looked like a monster. It was quite wonderful, very evil. Mm-hmm. So there's him. Mankind was quite influential on Danhausen. Mm-hmm. Still is. Goldust is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? As we go on, we have, of course, Stone Cold, and we have Danhausen's great best friend, Rock the Dwayne Johnson. Most electrocuted man, yes.
Yeah.
We have him. He definitely influenced Danhausen.
Yeah.
And then we go on to the later years, where Danhausen, he stopped watching wrestling, had to do evil deeds for a little while.
I get that.
But he got brought back by CM Punk on commentary.
On commentary?
Yes, he saw snippets here and there of the CM Punk fellow doing the Straight Edge Society, which was wonderful.
Yes.
But then Danhausen really got back into it when he was injured, which was right after, I believe. And he was doing commentary, because the whole show was entertaining to Danhausen, because this fellow, he talks quite good.
Wow. That's very, very interesting.
So that's you can thank CM Punk for getting Danhausen back into wrestling, thus becoming a wrestler.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, I don't know if he would agree with you, but the straight edge society version of CM Punk, I feel like very evil, almost completely evil.
Oh, yes. He's like a cult leader. It was wonderful.
Yes. And then he shows up on commentary and you're like, oh, he's kind of nice, too.
Oh, yes, but he's also very sarcastic. It made Danhausen laugh because he's saying evil comments about these fellows. He also yelled at John Cena one time for knocking over his Diet Pepsi. And then he attacked him later, and then he got back in the ring. It was wonderful.
Yeah, it was great. I loved it. I get it. It all makes sense now.
Yes.
So when did you realize that this is what you wanted to do with your life?
Well, Danhausen did not know exactly how to go about this.
Yeah.
So Danhausen has never known exactly what he wanted to be, but then he discovered that there was a school only a few miles, mere miles away from his home, the House of Truth by Truth Martini.
Of course.
And Jimmy Jacobs.
Sure.
So Danhausen went there, had a very nice, sometimes very evil time getting slammed on the ring to learn how to do this wrestling thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, it was just, you know, whatever may have you, Danhausen's on the prowl.
Yeah. Now, you're also...
So he's about 20.
You're also very, very strong. And that's something...
Oh, yes.
Very,
thank you for noticing.
Very strong. Quads, very strong. You know...
Oh, yes.
Clearly, we're lifting a lot. Is this something that you always took seriously, becoming very strong, decreasing the body fat, and having big old Danhausen muscles? Or is that something that came with wrestling?
Yes. No, Danhausen was doing it prior because he likes Batman. Have you ever heard of him?
I've heard of Batman. Yeah, sure.
Yes. He does a lot of weightlifting in the comic books. So Danhausen was like, that's pretty cool. Let's do it. So probably around when Danhausen was, when he really started reading comic books, 16, 17, he started buying them.
Huh. That's it. So you didn't really read comic books as a you didn't read comic books so much as a kid. It wasn't until your teens that you started reading comics.
Oh, no. Danhausen did the same thing with comics as he did with wrestling. He read them a lot as a child.
Oh.
Kind of dropped off for a little bit, but then was brought back around, 14, 15 so.
I see. I love that. One of those things where, like, you know, you're doing something you love as a kid. Then you spend this period of time where you think you have to be cool. So you stop doing the things that you like.
Yes.
And then you realize, I'm not nearly as happy trying to be cool as I was when I was just doing the things that I like. Let me double down on the stuff that I like.
Yes. And now who's cooler than Danhausen? Look at all this stuff.
I mean, not that many people are getting tweets from the most electrocuted man in sports entertainment. So I would say nobody is cooler than Danhausen. Is that probably right?
That is correct. Yes, Danhausen just doubled down. He goes back and collects all the old comics he had as a child that he ruined because he probably just crunched them up and threw them to the side.
Sure.
He's going back and buying his old toys that are now updated, such as these.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ninja Turtles, those are quite wonderful. Horror figures from NECA toys, Danhausen collects those as well.
I do too. The Ninja Turtles are a little frustrating, though. They're very difficult to find.
Yes, they are. But Danhausen puts out a tweet and says, hello, Fanhausen. Please help Danhausen so he does not have to go to Targets.
Smart. A little of that hypnosis on Twitter.
Exactly. You get it. This is hypnosis. Danhausen is using his evil power.
Yeah, that's pretty brilliant, actually, if you need to get something done. If you have the powers and you're not using them, what's the point of having them?
But make no mistake, Danhausen does not take advantage of his Fanhausens. He pays them, and he pays them handsomely.
Well, you can. I mean, when you're rich and famous, that's really nothing, right? It's not a big deal.
Exactly.
Especially.
No big deal.
Yeah.
Cool $100 coming your way.
Ooh, no big deal. Especially, you know, you're paying for action figures. They're only going to get more valuable. So it's like the money that you pay the Fanhausens, you're going to have coming back to you anyway.
Precisely.
Yeah. Do you have, when all this good stuff is happening to you, you're getting recognized by the people literally from the Mount Rushmore of this thing. Do you start to worry about getting complacent where, these goals are getting met very, very quickly?
This motivates Danhausen. Someone the other day asked, they said, well, now that you've been on the Conan show, and Danhausen quickly corrected them. No, he has not.
Ah.
Danhausen must be on the television show on TV. or the full podcast at the very least. But the real goal, get on television. Do the television Conan O'Brien show. Do something like that. Now that The Rock has tweeted you. No, that's not the end of it. Danhausen must work out with The Rock. Film a video with him. Have a nice time.
Yeah, maybe even...
We keep going.
Start an NBC series called Young Danhausen.
Yes. We're going to have a crossover episode with Young Rock.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. I want to go back to you talking about how, you know, Batman got you into working out, because it's interesting that at that point in your life, you looked up to Batman, because I feel like there's a lot of, there's a criminal in Gotham that went by the name of Jack Napier, that I feel like a lot of motivation maybe from Jack Napier might come towards the Danhausen. I feel like the way he was able to use makeup to portray himself as a more human being, kind of like a Jack Nicholson looking human being. You know, I feel like there's...
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Much like this fellow you're talking about, this is not makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this is just Danhausen's face. All right, we'll tell a little secret. This here, this red.
Right.
And some of these lines, these evil spikes, those are makeups. But this is just Danhausen, all natural.
Wow.
So, but Danhausen is, if you remember, he fell in acid, so that's not makeup.
Right.
But he does put on human makeup.
Human makeup.
To disguise himself. Yes. But Danhausen is, however, influenced, if you will, by the cartoon fellow, Mark Hamill.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. That one is quite nice. Very evil, but also very nice.
Yeah. And now Mark Hamill is getting ready to do a movie with Bert Kreischer. Did you hear about that?
Danhausen did not hear about this.
Yes. They're doing a movie together where Mark Hamill is going to play Bert's father.
Wonderful. We need to get Mark Hamill to play a cartoon version of Danhausen, perhaps.
I think that would be great. I mean, I don't know. I feel like you are so good at being Danhausen that my first choice would be. But I guess you'd be the live action.
Maybe
version.
Though, we could do the same thing. We could Danhausen obviously will voice Danhausen, but this Mark Hamill fellow could be maybe Danhausen's good friend. I don't know.
Yeah. Now, when you decided to be full Danhausen and not try to portray sort of more traditional human qualities in the wrestling ring. Have you gotten to the point now? Because, you know, I think when you were trying to portray more human characteristics, you were much more aggressive and a little bit less less showy, you know, less of the Pee Wee Herman dances, less of the hypnotism methods. Do you ever get to a point where you're like, you know, I don't know, I may want to go back to being that more human? Or do you say, no, this is the way it's supposed to feel. This is what it's supposed to be.
Yes. Well, there is that. But Danhausen does both now. So, joining Ring of Honor has helped Danhausen kind of melt it together. And now, he just had this wonderful match with Mike Bennett this last weekend, where Danhausen let out his aggressive side. There was no time for dancing.
Right.
So, Danhausen and Mike Bennett had this wonderfully horrifying match where we just beat the crap out of each other. And we really showed that Danhausen can be entertaining while being an aggressive, serious wrestling boy. A pure wrestler, if you will.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's why, you know, something that I've talked about a lot, because I think it needs to be talked about more, is the Doink the Clown character. In 1993, when he was portrayed by Matt Bourne, 1993 Doink the Clown was as good as wrestling gets, because you had this wrestling clown, it was over the top, but then once he got mean, and once he got aggressive, and once he started wrestling, you saw this wrestler who was better than any of the other wrestlers. You saw this guy who could be meaner and more aggressive than anybody else, but he had tricked everybody into thinking he was a clown that wasn't to be taken seriously, and I love that.
Exactly. See, these are mind games. Danhausen is no clown, though, make no mistake.
No.
But he is tricking them, because Danhausen put out a tweet the other day. He tweeted, what, a week ago, that he was talking to Conan O'Brien and The Rock. And then a week later, The Rock tweets at Danhausen. So Danhausen said, maybe it is time for people to stop thinking that Danhausen is just joking.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that that's true. Here's the thing. When you start cashing those checks, it's time for people to believe the writing that's on them, isn't it?
It is true. And it's there. Danhausen has all these sacks of money now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's questioning Danhausen?
That's right. Does when the sacks of money start coming in, does it make you, I don't know, does it secure your thought process? Does it make you feel like, yeah, I knew? Because I'm sure in the beginning, there were people that didn't get Danhausen, especially, you know, when you stopped being quite as evil and started being a little bit more nice. I'm sure that there were people and promoters and individuals that didn't quite get, I don't understand what this is. You know, if you're going to be evil. I don't get what you're doing. When the big sacks of money start coming in, does it make you feel like, yeah, I mean, I tried to tell you I knew what I was talking about.
Yes, yes, exactly. It's kind of, you know, and not in a negative way, but sometimes it's nice to prove people wrong.
Yes, yes.
Because they start seeing Danhausen, who has the longest merch line? Danhausen.
Right.
So they can see visually that, oh, this fellow is doing something that these people like who are paying tickets to my show.
Mm-hmm.
So then they start putting more trust in Danhausen. And hopefully now Danhausen would like to start wrestling these wrestlers, much like Mike Bennett, who is quite wonderful,
mm-hmm.
because Danhausen thinks there's more money in letting Danhausen fight these pure wrestlers.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Rather than fighting these other wonderful characters, perhaps we should team together. But the money to make is for Danhausen to fight the Mike Bennetts and the MJFs and the serious wrestlers, the Jonathan Greshams.
Yes. No, I agree, because, you know, you want to get both sides. You want to get the big, because you get Danhausen in the entrance. You get Danhausen in the merch. You get Danhausen in the presentation. And then once the bell rings, if we get that other side, well, now we can sit here and go, Danhausen is not just the appetizer. He's not just set decoration. He's not just, you know, he's the guy.
Yes. And the other thing is, you can get Danhausen during the match as well.
Right.
Danhausen knows how to be Danhausen during this. He learned, what was it, Kevin Owens one time said that Stone Cold told him to never stop running your mouth.
Yes.
And guess what Danhausen doesn't do? Never stops running his mouth, even when he's getting beat up. Constantly talking.
Where did the teeth in the jar come from?
Oh, yes. Okay, let's talk about it. So Danhausen was doing a surfboard, kind of like Daniel Bryan does, and he's pulling this fellow's face, and he said, he put a picture out one time and said Danhausen was trying to eat this fellow's teeth or take them or whatever.
Yeah.
And then a Fanhausen said, putting teeth in people's mouths. So Danhausen took that, slept on it, came back and said, you know what, this is a great idea because teeth are disgusting.
Yep.
So Danhausen will start collecting them, and then if you pour teeth in the foe's mouth, it disorients them because they almost throw up because it's gross. Also, it's not illegal, really, because the referee cannot disqualify you for pouring something like teeth that already exists in your mouth into your mouth.
Right.
It's not thumbtacks.
Right. Right.
So it's a nice legal distraction for Danhausen to be able to take advantage in the match.
And also quite a spectacle for the audience when you knock a guy in the chin and teeth go flying everywhere. You're like, did he lose a tooth? You're like, he lost all of them. They're all over the place.
Exactly. Well, because yes, when Shawn Michaels, when he super kicks a fellow and you see a tooth fly, the reaction is, oh. Now, when Danhausen kicks a fellow in the face, you see hundreds of teeth fly.
Yeah, it's raining teeth.
Yes, it's quite wonderful.
I think so, too.
And then if you slam them, sometimes they don't have time to sweep up before you slam them back down. You can slam them on some teeth, get a little extra in there.
And get that bounce effect of the teeth coming off the mat.
Yes, it's visuals. It's all about visuals with Danhausen.
What are the films? What type of films really influence Danhausen? Because I feel like there is a lot of, there's a cinematic nature, even to the promos that you put out there on the internet. There's a major, there's clearly a cinematic influence in the whole thing.
Oh, yes. Well, Danhausen was in the production in AIW with where we did a lot of cinematic things.
Yeah.
So Danhausen's films, though, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
Love it.
What else? Yes. Well, so here's the thing. Danhausen was very evil. He tries to relate it to this. Original Danhausen, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Mm-hmm.
New, improved Danhausen, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
Yes.
So there's that. Evil Dead 2, Army of Darkness. Mm-hmm. Those are quite wonderful. Shaun of the Dead is one of Danhausen's favorites.
Mm-hmm.
What else? American Werewolf in London.
Mm-hmm.
Return of the Living Dead. What else have we? Hellraiser. That one's quite nice. Wonderful, beautiful film.
Yeah.
Alien. Alien is one of Dan Housen's favorite films.
I love that. I love the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 comparison, though, because specifically that one is so such an unapologetic film for what it is. It's like, we're not trying to reinvent Texas Chainsaw Massacre. We're not doing that again. We're going so over the top. This is going to be so entertainment. There's going to be moments that are tongue in cheek. I mean, Bill Moseley gives just the performance of a lifetime. I love Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but I love Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 as a completely separate film that just exists in its own world.
Yes, it might be Dan Housen's favorite horror film.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like
it's a wonderful comedy horror film.
I agree. And people unfairly, I think, besmirch its good name because they compare it to the original. However, that's not what you're... I mean, if you take it as its own entity...
You should not do that. That's not its purpose.
No. I mean, it's like, to me...
It's totally separate.
Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. People say terrible things about Halloween 3, but it's just...
Wonderful.
It's an incredible, incredible film. I mean, you just have to get Michael Myers out of your head from the beginning and then just enjoy the ride. It's unbelievable.
Also, can we be honest with this?
Yeah.
Halloween 3 is better than most of the films with Michael Myers.
I mean, the vast majority. I would even...
Yes, because there's like 10 of them after that one that are awful.
Yeah.
The new one is good.
Yeah, the new one's good. Rob Zombie's first one is good. You know, I might even put Halloween 3 over the original sequel.
Yes. So Dan Housen would probably rate it Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Halloween 3.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe then Halloween, the new one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think.
And then maybe whatever else. Dan Housen doesn't care at that point. Probably 2, I guess.
Right, right. But I believe that that is also like you. People judge it based on preconceived notions that are not necessarily fair or true. And if they would just stop and just observe what's going on in front of them, they'd probably realize, oh, I'm seeing something fabulous here.
Take a second to really think about it rather than just going, oh, that is just this.
Yes. Yes. Speaking of film, I saw, too, that you declared yourself the May Queen on some of your merchandise, that you were inspired by probably my favorite film of last year, Midsommar, the Ari Aster film. And
yes, what a beautiful looking film. And what better way to celebrate it by making Dan Housen even more beautiful with a flower crown.
Yeah, and I really like when you put that
celebrate
shirt on.
Celebrate the summer times.
Yeah, I thought to myself, yeah, I mean, if I were to give any professional wrestler title of the May Queen, I was trying to rack my brain. Is there anybody more appropriate than Dan Housen for that? And I came up with nobody.
Nope, just Dan Housen.
Yeah, yeah, it's incredible. Well, Dan Housen, I mean, I'm glad we took this time. I tell you the truth. I have a selfish dream of my own. I don't know if this is a goal that you have. I'm sure you're very, very happy that Dave Honor is treating you very, very well in Ring of Honor, and that you and Dalton Castle and all of you guys are you know, just tearing it up in Ring of Honor right now. I feel like Ring of Honor is getting set for this renaissance of that
I agree.
Organization. You know, I'm very optimistic about the future of it. All that said, there is a part of me, especially once audiences are back and once wrestling is going back to theaters and arenas and things like that, there is a part of me that would love the visual of going to an NXT takeover and watching that show and the camera panning to the front row and where you see, you know, instead of it being, you know, Drew McIntyre in a shirt and tie, or even Matt Riddle in a shirt and tie, or whatever it is, seeing Dan Housen in the front row, just like that.
Hello, Vince, how are you?
Yeah, to me, I feel like that would be the mark of like, okay, NXT is going to be taken in a completely new direction now, and I think it'd be quite lovely.
Housen could just look at the camera and go, hold on, Dan Housen has to go shake Triple H's hand right now and just leave.
Yeah.
Gotta go get that photo.
Yeah, yeah, Dan Housen wants to get the point.
Yes, well, who knows? Tell them to Maybe they could just have Danhausen host WrestleMania next year. He is a famous celebrity, you know.
I think that's a great idea. I think if Danhausen came out to 100,000 people in Dallas, Texas, and just welcomed everybody to WrestleMania, I think it'd be great.
Danhausen's going to be in Dallas, so give Danhausen a call, send him $1 million. Danhausen will be a celebrity guest host.
I think it's a fabulous idea.
Also have him host TakeOver. Danhausen will host the weekend. Who cares?
Host everything. I mean, go to Raw. Be the GM. Do it all.
Yeah, we'll go to Monday Night WrestleMania. We'll call it chaos. It'll be quite nice.
I love it.
Who's the anonymous Raw GM? Danhausen.
Wouldn't that be great if you...
Danhausen the whole time.
Yeah, the whole... Like, we just come back, like, 10 years later. I forgot to... Remember that thing? Yeah, that was Danhausen, actually.
GTV, Danhausen. Anonymous Raw GM, Danhausen.
Yeah. Who was it that was raising the briefcase in the McMahons versus Stone Cold? Yeah.
Who hit Stone Cold Steve Austin with the car? It was not Rikishi. It was Danhausen.
Right. But and it would make sense. Why would Danhausen hit Stone Cold with a car? Well, he did it for The Rock.
Yes. Also, by the way, Danhausen was there that night.
Really?
It was in Detroit, Survivor Series 1998, yes.
Wow.
Or 99, one of the two, but Danhausen was there. First angle debuted.
Yeah, I want to say it was 99, but whatever year it was, that's an incredible event to be a part of. So that was Kurt Angle's debut. Was that the one where, like, everybody was booing him and he cut a promo mid-match to reprimand people?
Yes, that was it. But just so you know, Danhausen was there. Could have been Danhausen.
Yeah, but you know what? He didn't get hit with a PT Cruiser, so I'm a little suspicious.
Well, they didn't have any. They only had Mercedes and whatever else, limos and all those things.
That's a good
point. We did not have the PT Cruiser yet.
I guess that's a great point.
It came out the year after.
Yeah.
Yes. Was not invented.
That's a good point, too. Before I let you go, I forgot to ask you this. Okay. You know, I feel like as I watch, Monday Night Raw, and as I watch the AEW shows, as I watch all these shows, I feel like there is this sort of wave of four-letter words returning to television. I hear B words and SH words and a lot of profanity being added back into wrestling. This is something that you very much are against, yes?
Yes, and you want Danhausen to explain it real quick.
Yes, please.
So, as Danhausen understands it, if you swear on television or radio, because he's heard this quite often, you'll get kicked off the air. You'll get censored. You'll get taken off.
Yeah.
And then you cannot take over the airwaves. Everything comes back down to money and taking over the airwaves with Danhausen.
Ah.
So there's also signs usually in the back of these independent wrestling shows Danhausen is on. Mm-hmm. And usually the sign says, if you are going to talk to the audience, there is no swearing. And then what do people do? They go out there and they swear every other word.
What?
And then Danhausen goes, hey, guess who's not very creative? You. Guess who's going to go out there and not swear and have a good time? Danhausen. Guess who's going to get the louder cheer? Danhausen.
And it will enable Danhausen to take over. Yeah, I tell you, I mean, I'm with you. I watch some of these independent shows, and I watch, I pay a lot of, obviously I pay pretty close attention to broadcasting and commentators and things like that. I am not a fan of commentators that curse throughout the matches. I don't think it's right.
Too much swearing.
Too much swearing.
Takes away.
Yes. Yes.
Too much. The only time Danhausen swore was when he did not get the number one spot on the PWI.
Oh, I get that. I mean, that's...
Yes. That's... He was promised. He could not get it, so Danhausen swore a little bit.
That's very aggravating. Yeah, and you gave Renee Young or Renee Paquette what for because of that, correct?
Yes, but then she fixed the scenario. She's, by the way, wonderful human being.
Wonderful person.
Great book. Go buy her book. Dan is plugging her book right now.
Mm.
But she promised that this John Moxley fellow would relinquish his number one spot and give it to Danhausen. So they have to rectify this situation. Wonderful humans. Danhausen wishes them the best.
That's great.
And he's sending them two PT Cruisers on the house.
When you're number one in the PWI 500, have you thought about deathmatch wrestling at all? Speaking of John Moxley, I mean, I feel like there is, with your teeth and the violence, I feel like, there is a scenario. I love deathmatch wrestling when there's a great story being told within the deathmatch. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Is that something that you would participate in?
So Danhausen does not have much interest in this.
Mm-hmm.
He does think that Nick Gage and John Moxley are quite wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But Danhausen tries to do as much as possible, less hurty as possible. So
right.
Danhausen has no interest really in getting slammed on thumbtacks or going through barbed wire or those gusset plates. Those are horrifying.
Right. Right. No, I get that. And
oh, thank you.
And generally speaking, you go through that, you have to go to a hospital, you have to give the hospital money. Which we're not trying to give money. We're trying to get money, right?
Yes. Danhausen does not want to do these deathmatch wrestlings. Well, you know, if John Moxley said, hey, let's do this exploding thingy, sure, maybe Danhausen would do it. But Danhausen will not just be touring the states doing these matches.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Well, you're smart. Danhausen, you're a...
For the right price, maybe.
Right. You're a smart guy. You're a money guy. And I think that the future is only going to get better, believe it or not. I you know, I wouldn't be surprised if at some point maybe Matt Groening goes out of his way to highlight Danhausen. I think so. Bret the Hitman Hart can be on an episode of The Simpsons. I don't see why Danhausen can't be.
You know, Bret Hart did say once that Danhausen is the excellence of execution. So who knows?
He said that. Wow, I hadn't.
Yes, he said Danhausen is the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever would be.
That's incredible. And from him, that's quite an honor. That's
yes. Well, someone bought a cameo, but nevertheless. They bought it for Danhausen. He said it. So it's true.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, RJ City said that Not Sam Wrestling was the best show on the WWE Network. I mean, there was a little cameo logo in the bottom corner, but he still said it.
Very nice, very evil. Danhausen enjoys this show, and he enjoys RJ City.
Yeah. Well, where do you want to send people, Danhausen? Let's see. There's people listening to Not Sam Wrestling now. Let's see if we can get them to take their money and give it to you. How can we get that done?
Yes. So, Danhausen has his Patreon page where he does a bunch of exclusive interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Much like this one, he's had Austin Creed on, Renee Paquette recently. Yes, Matt Hardy, Big Money Matt Hardy, Ethan Page, so on and so forth. Lots of people, Ron Funches. But there's that. We do cooking shows on there. We do review shows, movie review shows too. And that's where Danhausen does most of his extra stuff.
Mm.
We have cameo.com/Danhausen and prowrestlingkeys.com/Danhausen, where for 1 week only, you can get the micro brawler of Danhausen, which just went on sale.
And I'll tell you this, it's 1 week only. So, you know, it sells out regardless, because after the week, it'll be gone. But I'm going to get my hands on a couple of them, because the last Danhausen micro brawler, I did not get my hands on. And guess what? Gone. Sold out. Everybody got gobbled them up.
And it's on eBay now. eBay now for like $150.
Oh my gosh.
Only 500 sold out in a day.
Wow. So get these now. Go to Pro Wrestling Tees and get the Danhausen Micro Brawlers, because you'll regret not having them, right?
Yes, you will absolutely regret it. Also, if you do not get one, Danhausen will curse you.
Oh boy, and that's bad.
That is bad.
Yeah. Well, Danhausen, I appreciate you taking some time out of your busy, celebrity, wealthy schedule to talk to us here. And it's been great, man. Thank you.
Yes. Well, thank you for having Danhausen. Love that Danhausen. Love that Samhausen.
Thanks for listening. Follow at Not Sam on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
Rate, review, and subscribe. This has been Not Sam Wrestling.
For the ones who get going when the going gets tough, and the ones who know we're tougher together. For the pathfinders breaking new ground, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as fast access to experts and 24/7 customer support. Because we know you have people depending on you, so you can always depend on us. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.